Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until one. How the hell are you doing? It's Wednesday, the 17th of December. I hope you're in good form, better spirits than the average Fianna Fáil backbencher. And some would say they're very average these days. The WhatsApp is open, 087-032-3232. You know what to do there. And for your longer letters, you can email Oliver at rte.ie. Press the thing. Taras Jock, Don Baker is going to be dropping in to talk with us this morning about his work with the Tig Lynn charity. We've got a couple of farmers for you. You've heard of Doctors Without Borders. Well, these are farmers without clothes on. We'll explain it all very soon. We'll talk about the historic Corkman of the 18th century who coined the phrase the United States of America. Yes, it was an Irishman who did that. Well, not an Irishman. It was a Corkman. Apologies to the rebels. What a legacy that man has. The phrase has never been abused in any way at all. We're going to find out about wargaming in Mayo, not connected at all, surprisingly. And there's a woman in Limerick who's doing lots of knitting and paying tribute to the unique Irish love that we have for various bus and train routes, as we only have in this country. We'll have a few tunes for you as well. We'll settle yourself, get your chakra back in shape and as good a shape as the Taoiseachs of the country. Still the Taoiseach forever. 51551 is the text. Oh, there's a lot of juicy politics going on at the moment, isn't there? The news sites across the world, not concerned with the Fianna Fáil machinations in terms of, and in fairness to Fianna Fáil, they're hopping mad at the minute. All the TDs and senators, they're fuming and furious. They're foaming at the ears about their party's handling of the housing disaster. Is that what? No, they're just angry still about the Jim Gavin disaster. I mean, we've got over that since early October. I mean, we've had Halloween decorations up and down, but they're still going. But at least the aggro gives them a bit of some much needed exercise in many cases. As you heard on David McCullough, Run DMC, as I like to call him, Micheál Martin is still the leader. There are lots of kind of whitterings and whisperings in unnamed sources, but nobody really kind of becoming one of the, no sense of no motions of confidence. You know, the usual words that kind of roll out. Nobody's angry enough. So Micheál remains the longest serving leader of Fianna Fáil since De Valera, also the crankiest. So there you go. No, the world news sites today are covering the sensational shock and awe interview in Vanity Fair with Susan Wiles, chief of staff at the Trump White House. It was mentioned some hours ago on Morning Ireland, but they're tied for time. So they merely skirted the fringes of what is it's an acid trip, trouser risky carjack ride of an interview. She's the most low-key Trump whisperer, Susan Wiles. Well, she was until last night when this long read arrived. She did 11 interviews over the course of the last 11 months with Chris Whipple of Vanity Fair. And today, Susan Wiles is furious that he accurately quoted her, thus drawing maximum attention to this. Now, I've read the full 10,000-word article, so you don't have to. Now, bear in mind, it's been less than a year since the final season of America began. Those 11 months have felt like 11 years. And every day, things occur that would have been the defining scandal of a regular 4 years in the White House. But not this one. We barely even have time to talk about the fact that Trump signed only yesterday an executive order that classifies fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction coming out of Venezuela. Remember WMDs? Oh my God, like 2003's known, untruthy unknowns that led to Iraq being blown to bits and continues to this very day. But it's all happening again. It's the circle of life, you understand. But there is neither WMD nor fentanyl in Venezuela, I've been reading in the reputable media establishments. But back on point, this is the most senior figure in Trump's office outside of his own physical presence. It's this woman. She goes for many lunches with the journalists. She had him around for chats in the office. She also meets on the record major figures from the MAGA universe in the White House, like Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance, the hillbilly turned Marine turned internet meme. It's hysterical. It's mean. It's amazing. So what does she say to Vanity Fair? I'll give you the lowdown. It's quite low. Trump is basically carrying out revenge on his enemies, and she tried to talk him out of it, but he wasn't going for it. But this is just, that's a casual fact now. The White House chief of staff also said Elon Musk was on ketamine. That is the dissociative anesthetic drug. I mean, how else could you serve, Mr. Trump, says you. But the richest man on the planet, as you know, denies this. And she's been backpedaling desperately in the last couple of hours. Unfortunately, there's a tape that she said these very things about Elon Musk to the writer. She said he sleeps in a sleeping bag in the executive office building in the daytime. That's next to the White House. He's an odd, odd duck, as I think geniuses are. You know, it's not helpful, but he's his own person. It's like she's talking about a kind of a visiting teenager during transition years. He's his own thing now. Susan Wiles says Trump has an alcoholic's personality, even though he doesn't actually consume any alcohol. He operates with a view, she says, that there's nothing he cannot do. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. Stephen Colbert has been having fun with this very thing overnight on his show.
Frankly, I think it's amazing he doesn't drink, because he sure sounds like it.
Anonymous. Really an anonymous electrocution as a result.
We just had another sock rocket.
Deadhead fed hair. You're going to see some statistics coming out. God bless the United States.
Statistics is the best one. Incidentally, Stephen Colbert's show will come to an end in 4 months as part of his parent company, the parent of CBS's reaction to Trump's vendetta against Stephen Colbert for doing things like that, playing back his own words and so on. Anyway, when Susan Wiles said she read the Epstein file, she said Trump is on it. He's in the file many times. He was on Jeffrey Epstein's plane. He's on the manifest. They were, you know, sort of young, single, whatever. I know it's passé, but sort of young, single playboys together. Trump was in his late 40s, 50s at the time, frolicking through the wheat fields just as Epstein's criminality was about to unfold. But there's no evidence that Trump did anything related to his crimes. She says Trump is lying about Clinton being on the Epstein island and he knows it. As for whether there was anything incriminating about Clinton in the files that she's now read, she told Vanity Fair, the president was wrong about that. Wow, this is a powerful woman. She gets to say those words. Of J.D. Vance, she says he's been a conspiracy theorist for 10 years and he flipped on Trump simply for his own political needs. The vice president has actually been answering questions about this overnight.
I haven't looked at the article. I, of course, have heard about it. But conspiracy theorist, sometimes I am a conspiracy theorist, but I only believe in the conspiracy theories that are true.
Yeah. Hell yeah. USA, JD. Which ones does he mean are true? Is it the one about the couch? And to myself, I wonder how that piece of furniture may have suffered. But we've yet to hear from the couch. There is much more in this Meltdown interview. Don't put the popcorn away just yet. Susie Wiles says Pam Bondi, she's the woman in charge of the Justice Department of the US. She caused the Epstein disaster for Trump because she insulted the MAGA influencers that she brought in. And then she pretended she had the Epstein client list on her desk, which now doesn't exist, they all say. Susie told Trump not to pardon the January 6th insurrectionist coup guys who beat up cops, but he pardoned them anyway. Side stories of that, many of those have since gone on to commit more violent crimes since their early release. Such gratitude. Tearing down the international aid agency USAID by Elon Musk and his Doge bros, she says that was wrong and much of the White House didn't agree with it, but Elon Musk operated too quickly for them to stop him. That's normal. George W. Bush got in touch with Marco Rubio to complain about it all, said the impact on drugs for HIV in Africa, which was saving lives before the funding was cut, was a huge concern to him. But they kind of go, you're old now, we don't care about you. Nobody in the White House, literally nobody, including J.D. Vance, they sit around and tell Trump the tariffs thing is a terrible idea. And he just did it anyway. He didn't care. And they knew he would have to backpedal significantly. And the taco, Trump always chickens out thing, really hurt him and offended him. She's since been trying to get him to focus on food prices and inflation, which is upsetting Americans to the extent that Trump's approval ratings are lower than they were at this time in his first term, and not on all the foreign affairs stuff that he's obsessed with at the moment, but he just won't do it. He keeps ranting online, as Stephen Colbert has been describing, something about the way she manages her office.
According to Wiles, part of her job, she keeps a freestanding video monitor next to the fireplace in her West Wing office with a live feed of Trump's social media posts. So there's fire and a constant stream of Trump's social media posts. Are you sure that's your office? Because it sounds like hell to me.
On and on it goes. She also reveals he's planning more renovations of the White House after tearing down the East Wing already, where the First Lady used to be based, but she's no longer living with her husband permanently. She does show up to many events and so on. This basically is going down. It's like an A-bomb inside the Trump White House, this whole interview. Susan Wiles, she gave these interviews over several months. At one stage, she says, they don't know I'm doing this. But of course they do, because there's lots of photographs of Caroline Leavitt and all the very top honchos. So there's a bit sense of panic going on. The last couple of hours since Vanity Fair published these 10,000 words. She's been on social media saying it's a disingenuously framed hit piece on me and the finest president, the finest White House staff and cabinet in history. Now, she's not kind of taking issue with the facts, but she says that significant context was disregarded and much of what I and others said about the team and the president was left out of the story. And presumably there's going to be lots of fill-in bits as well. I think President Trump says he's going to address the nation tomorrow to outline all his accomplishments of the year to date. It might be short, says Jimmy Kimmel on his show. At least it will be short. President Trump himself, he says he has full confidence in Susan Wiles after this. He told the New York Post she's done a fantastic job. But still, this fully sanctioned spread in Vanity Fair has left people scratching their heads. This is from Politico. Politico are saying lots of the very close Trump allies are wondering why the very top of the administration would participate in the interview. How could Wiles, who's lauded for her political acumen and loyalty, have miscalculated so badly? The interview was extremely demoralizing, said a person close to the White House. This is all in Politico. A second person close to the White House simply said, so far, WTF. A third person said they've known Susan Wiles for decades and are very surprised that she participated. She hasn't denied that she's made the comments, but it is tremendous. I'm just hooked on this. There's one other thing. She said last week when live footage showed Trump clearly asleep at a cabinet meeting where he was being praised, that he was in fact not slumbering, that he was just completely fine. Stephen Colbert, in fact, has the direct quote.
And she replied, he's not asleep. He's got his eyes closed and his head leaned back. And you know, he's fine. He's fine. His head's leaned back, little drool in the corner of his mouth. He keeps muttering, honk shoe, honk shoe. Every once in a while, his legs move like he's chasing a rabbit, you know. Not asleep.
Mostly the direct quote, with the rest of us invented as well. It kind of makes our skirmishes over due diligence in Fianna Fáil seem very paltry turkey, doesn't it? Nonetheless, there are two pertinent interviews I want to mention for real world concern, particularly concerning South America and Ukraine, because over lunch, this is Vanity Fair again, Susan Wiles says of Trump's Venezuela strategy, he wants to keep on blowing boats up until Maduro cries uncle, which I think is the phrase until the dictator of Venezuela resigns, whatever. And Vanity Fair points out this is Susan Wiles appearing to contradict the administration's official stance that blowing up boats in international waters is about the illegal drug trade, not regime change. And of Ukraine, she reveals that Trump basically believes Putin isn't going to stop until he gets the whole country. She also says Trump is only messing when he's talking about running for a third term. And he said that to her many times, that he knows it's impossible. That's a lovely relief, isn't it? Phew, it's all going to be fine. She said the things, but just, you know, context and so on are different. In a completely unrelated note, here's a song called End of the World.